Now in chapter 30 here, we have what I have actually labeled a lamentation. You have here a lamentation. And he speaks here of the desolation of Egypt. And that is a very desolate country, by the way, very desolate nation. Chapter 30, verse 1. And again, here we go. This has been repeated. I really do not know how many times, but I'm sure there's already been several hundred times that we've had this expression. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God, wail ye, alas for the day. A time of mourning, you see. This is a lamentation. For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near. A cloudy day. It shall be the time of the nations. And that is unusual. You don't have many clouds in the land of Egypt because they have less than an inch of rain in that section. They depend upon the river Nile. And by the way, they worship the crocodile of the Nile as well as everything else in the animal world, the bird world, and the bug world. Beasts, birds, bugs. And they worship them all in the land of Egypt. Now, we go on here, and it shall be the time of the nations. And we're living actually in that time today. The nations are really stirring throughout the world. Now, he goes on to say here, and the sword shall come upon Egypt, and great pain shall be in Ethiopia when the slain shall fall in Egypt. And they shall take away her multitude, and her foundations shall be broken down. I won't go into that today, but we will be referring to Ethiopia again. There was quite an alliance between Egypt and Ethiopia. Although we do not consider it very much in studying the Bible, but there was a great deal of enmity and warfare between Egypt and Ethiopia. It's believed by many conservative scholars that Moses, when he was Pharaoh's daughter's son and would have been the next Pharaoh, that he actually led an expedition against Ethiopia. Now, we read here, verse 5, Ethiopia and Put, or Libya, and Lud, and that's Lydia, Libya and Lydia now, and all the mingled peoples, and Cub, and Put, Lud, and Cub, and the men of the land that's in league shall fall with them by the sword. So that at this time there was an alliance and they would all go down and be subject to Nebuchadnezzar. You can see he was actually a world ruler. In fact, he is the head of gold in the four great world kingdoms. Now we read here, verse 6, Thus saith the Lord, they also that uphold Egypt shall fall. You see, not only Israel had looked to Egypt for help, but these other nations had, and they're going down just as Israel would go down in judgment. Now, I want to drop down here and look at another remarkable prophecy that's here in this 30th chapter. He says here, verse 12, I will make the rivers dry. Now, the rivers, as we've seen before, are actually those different branches down in the delta of the Nile, and there were many of them, and there were canals down there. That was the rich area, by the way. It's right near there, the land of Goshen, a very rich section that the children of Israel were in. I'll make the rivers dry, God says, and I'll sell the land into the hand of the wicked, and I'll make the land waste and all that's in it by the hand of foreigners. I, the Lord, our strangers, I, the Lord, have spoken. Now, that fell, as you know, later on. Actually, Alexander the Great took Egypt later on. And when he died, his generals took over. Cleopatra actually was not an Egyptian. She was a Greek. But she ruled over Egypt. And this country came in under the control of the other nations, foreigners, strangers, control this very rich section, but it's filled up. And I'm told today, although I've never gotten into that particular section, but a friend of mine that had just come from there that I met in Cairo, he told me, oh, that's really a swamp down in that section. God says that is what would happen. Now, here is something, another remarkable prophecy. Thus saith the Lord God, this is verse 13, I will also destroy the idols, and I'll cause their images to cease from Memphis. And that's the name of this place here. And there shall be no more a prince of the land of Egypt, and I'll put a fear in the land of Egypt. Now, that's quite interesting. This has been literally fulfilled. Now, Memphis at that time was the great city in Egypt. That was a city that probably had more idols in it than any other. And it was a very wealthy city. And along the streets, one idol right after another, that was the decoration, up and down both sides of every street. No place would ever have as many as that. Now, God says here, I'm going to make the images, the idols, to cease from Memphis. I'll get rid of them. Now, I've walked over what is supposed to be the ruins of Memphis. In fact, it's been cleaned out so that today they're not even quite sure. And the only one there is that great big statue of Ramesses that lies on its back there. And it's housed now. In fact, the house is built around it. That's the only thing that's there. God did exactly what he said. I'll make the idols to cease, and there'd be no prince in the land of Egypt. There's no royal line there anymore. I don't think you could call Nasser or Sadat or any of the ones that had been in the past. You couldn't say they were a royal line. And they've never been great rulers. They've had to look to other nations today, and they do at the present moment. Now, God goes on to say here that this is the thing that would happen. I will pour out my fury upon sin. And also he mentioned No. No is Thebes, by the way. And cut off the multitude of No. Thebes in the upper Nile. Great city. Ruins of that. It's disappeared. The greatness is all gone. And God goes on to speak along that line concerning these great cities of Egypt that have now disappeared altogether. Now, God says that Babylon will have a victory over Egypt. And he's repeating this. He's already said it once. But just as he said concerning Jerusalem, he's making it clear here. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first month, in the 7th day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You know, the king holds the scepter. And if you'll notice these pictures of the rulers in Egypt, they always got something in the hand. God says, I'll break their arm. That's a token of their power. I'll break it. It shall not be bound up or be healed, to put a bandage to bind it, to make strong to hold it. In other words, Babylon will take Egypt. Now, may I say that that was literally fulfilled.